And just like that, there's always next year, at least for most of us on this panel. So stay tuned. We're talking last week of regular season football here on the NFC East Updates and Reaction Show.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah.
For the last time this season.
Woo! We're deflated.
Y'all are deflated.
We have football fatigue. Do you feel like you should maybe be a little bit deflated, though, after this past weekend? No, you're still all gung-ho, high hopes.
I'm wherever I was after that Raiders game.
Yeah,
but people should know who all the voices are. I'm Steve Coffin. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Coffin. That's K-A-U-M-A-N-N.
Me first, excuse me. I'm just kidding.
I kind of did.
Welcome in, guys. Happy New Year. Welcome back from holiday break. My name is Jenna Bussier. You can find me on Twitter at Jenna_Bussier. Josh is out. He is still in New York from his break, but we got our two guys, our Eagles and Redskins fan, in the house. We're going to talk these miserable games. So what's going on with you guys?
Well, can I tell people who I am?
And yeah, that's,
I know I'm where the forgotten team of the division.
What's going on with you guys is...
Introduce you. Well, now, he's already introduced himself.
Everybody knows.
The entitled Eagle fan, whatever.
The
he's successful, so he just...
Seriously. I think this is the first time in the history of the NFC someone's called an Eagles fan entitled.
The title.
We're a lot of things.
We're
not entitled.
Maybe the wrong
word. The word title has nothing...
Yeah, wrong
but
word.
But kind
word.
Of entitled in a sense that you delusionally always think that you're going to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, they got humbled when Carson Wentz went down. So.
We don't actually think that, but where can the people find you?
Well, for all the Redskin fans who are still somehow watching this show, I'm D'Angelo on Twitter at D'Angelo TV and on Instagram at D'Angelo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome in. How was your holidays?
It's pretty fun. One and one.
A holiday was all football related. My holiday sucked. My Christmas Eve with the Cowboys losing against that Seattle game,
which was more trash.
I know, right?
You know what? It was on. I was playing some games with my family on Christmas Eve. Kept looking over, seeing like another Dak overthrowing Dez Bryant type of play, another run getting stuff, and I was like, F this, for lack of better term.
I'm pretty sure all four of our teams did not show up this week.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Maybe Nate Sudfeld showed up, but that's about it.
Just Nate.
He's trying to get a job.
Just Nate Sudfeld showed up.
Yeah,
everybody else.
Let's get into this Cowboys-Eagles game. Man, was this exciting.
News fest.
This was A-plus football.
Yeah.
And given how late most people's New Year's Eve were, at least on the West Coast where this was a 10 a.m. kickoff, this was literally a snooze fest. For me, this was literally, like, every time something might happen in that game was kind of like the snooze button for me. Like,
why did where I I'm wake like, up for this?
Is this, game, back over. Is this game worth waking up for? Nope.
Nope.
It was so incredibly boring. I mean, it took us until the fourth quarter, which we see. We have the Bryce Butler touchdown. The only, oh my gosh, yes, thank you for bringing that up, because how lame was this celebration? I mean, I feel bad for Butler. He's pumped. He scored a touchdown better than the way he ended last season when he dropped a could have been touchdown in the end zone in the playoffs against Green Bay.
Yeah.
So he goes out instead with a touchdown before he enters free agency this year. But he's pumped, coming into the end zone, looking for somebody to celebrate, somebody to grab onto. The linemen are just walking off the field. They're like, dude.
I think he forgot that he was allowed to celebrate. So it was, cool, touchdown, let's move it on.
Right.
Oh, wait, I can celebrate. And then it was just this impromptu awkward celebration. NFL players, to those of you who watch the show, I know a lot of you do.
All of
if
them,
you forget
I'm
to celebrate,
sure.
Just forget to celebrate.
Just act like
nothing's worse than like a false start on a celebration.
I don't think Bryce was. He scored his touchdown, so he's running to his phone to get ready to buy his tickets for Cancun. He's not thinking about that touchdown.
I think he looked pretty pumped up on that. I mean, good for him. Bryce Butler, he should have received more looks this entire season. I think he only had like 15 catches, like an obscenely small number for this year, when we could have used the receiving unit towards the second half of the year, especially. I don't know.
I see what you're doing there, picking this to be shown.
I did pick this pick to be shown. Uh-huh. Oh, it's a little sketchy. The quality not
shaky.
Running too smoothly.
Well,
a little shaky.
He did it,
but for two reasons. One, because that was Nick Foles only not having the best game. So 4 for 11, yet he did only play the first quarter. 39 yards, and an interception, that being the interception to Chidobe Awuzie, which I wanted to also give a shout out to because he is a rookie cornerback who has been improving and bringing some life to that Dallas secondary.
How long did it take you to learn to pronounce his name?
Nice. You know, that was nice. I don't know if that was correct, though. That's Awuzie, the thing.
Awuzie.
I think it's Chidobe?
Chidobe would be my
Chidobe,
guess.
Yeah. Chidobe, yeah. Like but Chipotle. I've heard it said, like...
Very Nigerian. Very Nigerian.
Like, if you say it slow, or you, there's some kind of, like, twist to it. Like, you speed it up or something. I don't know.
Chidobe Awuzie.
Chidobe Awuzie.
I would imagine the C nice is name. Like an S. Very like Nigerian. A Chidobe.
Very Nigerian name.
But I'm really feeling him, and Jordan Lewis had great years at rookie cornerback. So, props to them. But we got to talk Nick Foles.
We do have to talk
Nick Foles. We have to talk Nick Foles because not only that first quarter, it was the Oakland game that's really not setting you guys into confidence going to the playoffs. How you feeling?
I still feel good because the quarterback, a good quarterback is not a team. A quarterback is a part of a team, an integral part of the team. And Nick Foles isn't a bad quarterback. We have the tools to wake up when we need to wake up. We didn't need to wake up for this Dallas game. We technically didn't need to wake up for this Oakland game. Although we kind of, like, I think when the going gets tough, we're at least going to see what this team is or isn't made of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would, and like, to say that Carson Wentz was, if you break it down the percents, let's say we were 100% with Carson Wentz. Mm-hmm. To say that Carson Wentz accounts for more than 30% of that number is a little much.
Right. Because
yeah. 10 or 15 at most, he's one person.
Four-headed monster, the run game, your defense.
We have a functional quarterback. And...
Is that enough in the playoffs, though?
Are we going to do this?
I don't know. What do you mean?
Well, no, because we've spoken before about how people talk about, like, playoffs. Playoffs are just this different thing. And, like, I like to fight back as the playoffs are not a different thing. It's the same game. This team only has to come out and win three more times.
Yeah, but against six teams in the NFC. So right.
No,
exactly.
And NFC, it's no AFC, let's put it that way. Yeah.
But it's NFC's top heavy.
But it's an any given Sunday kind of a thing. Like, does it actually... I personally don't think the playoffs do a good enough job of finding the best team in the world. Like, I think the regular season does a good job of giving you your best six in a division, so your best 12 overall. Mm-hmm. And then I think it's all kind of silly.
It's another season for sure. So what team do you prefer? Who do you want to see? Great. Who do would we you want like to... not like to see? Who do you want to see?
So,
come
I mean, the options are Falcons, if the Falcons win. If the Rams win, it'll be either the Panthers or the Saints.
So between the Falcons, Saints, and the Panthers. I've heard Panthers mostly by Eagle fans.
Really?
We've beaten the Panthers before. But to be very honest, I'm okay with... We've also beaten the Rams before. Granted, that was kind of a tough game. I'd rather not see them. Mm-hmm. Falcons, I don't want to touch the Falcons right now because
they look playoff ready.
Well, and really? By that...
Yes,
well,
I think so.
By that we mean on my Twitter, I took a screenshot of the NFL playoff calculator the morning of Thanksgiving of what I thought the playoff would look like. And the Falcons were nowhere on that list to me. Because on the morning of Thanksgiving, they weren't on anyone's playoff radar.
Yeah.
And I think more than anything, and part of why I think the playoffs aren't the best tangible to get you to a Super Bowl and to get you to the best team in the NFL, is the Falcons have a better chance because the ball had been rolling since November.
They
have the
mindset.
Hot momentum and going if, on
and
right
if
now,
that's
that
the
comeback.
Case, what's the point being? What's the point in being good in September? Mm-hmm. If the real point is to just be good enough in November to make it to the playoffs and then not lose.
So, I mean, how do you feel about the Saints then? That's the only team you have.
I think we can take the Saints. I feel comfortable with the Saints or the Panthers. I'd rather avoid the Falcans or the Rams.
When did the Falcons become, the Falcons become, like, I don't.
No, I'm talking momentum. I'm not talking.
Oh, okay, just
I'm talking momentum that
I don't think the Panthers played very well that last week.
I think the Panthers are an inconsistent team. So it might not be the best test to say that the Falcons are the best team now in the NFC, given that it was the Panthers who they beat. But I think them being the Super Bowl contenders last year, getting hot when they need to, having the momentum, this is a playoff team. They have Julio Jones. Moe Sanu has been having such a good year. Matt Ryan has been there. He was MVP last year. Like, these people know. Know what they're doing. Yeah. They have the experience. So I'm scared of them. I'm nervous for the Rams just to even the first
just in
game.
General,
yeah, exactly.
And if we're talking nervous, assuming we can make it past whoever what team you're talking about, I would much rather prefer to not see Minnesota.
Really?
In the NFC Championship. If if at all possible.
I'm still not sold on the Case Keenum thing.
We all gotta just take the baby steps.
Yeah, but like, if you want to talk about momentum, like they've had of the one and the two seed in the NFC side, they look like the better team. I'll openly admit that because
they look strongest for sure of all the teams in the maybe.
I would argue of the one and two seeds on both sides, they look like the strongest of the four.
I'm very excited for the playoffs.
Well, the Patriots, we all have.
About it. Even the Steelers. If you said the Vikings were playing the Steelers in the Super Bowl, I'm not taking the Vikings, even if they're at home.
Really?
Yeah. But, I mean, that's for another show that we're going to have later this
week. Yeah, we will. Week, we will have a playoff, After Buzz recap show here. But we do have to get through this week 17 first. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's address now Nick Foles. I mean, we knew this was going to happen. We knew he was only going to play a quarter or two. But coming in with Nate Sudfeld, have to check that I was pronouncing that right, because none of us even knew who this guy was.
Penn State guy. I brought him up
You did know.
Because we drafted him.
Right, you drafted him, but you didn't realize that he had went to the Eagles.
I didn't know he was still in the
league. So we're all like, Nate who? Yeah.
I believe I mentioned him on this show a couple, like, after the Rams game, to which I said, if Foles is bad, we can go with Nate, that Penn State guy. I believe
Nate,
Penn State guy, which is correct. He is Nate Sudfeld from Penn State.
Good old Penn State.
He is 6'6", right? He's
lost
a giant.
McCoy, so in a backup competition, so that's not reassuring.
there's rumors, but you know how all these hot takes are going to come out, and people are saying, oh, so seeing how bad Nick Foles is playing, is now Doug Peterson going to start Nate Sudfeld?
No, he's not.
So what do we think about
that's not a question.
This?
Like,
because this happening. Is like a real thing that was all over the internet today. People were going crazy about this. Like, ooh, maybe Nate will start.
Well, people on the internet like to go crazy.
Yeah.
We're a testament. Like, we live on the internet. We get that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would like to point out, I don't know where I got Penn State. He came from Indiana. But whatever.
Fake news.
Fake news on that part.
You heard it here first. We just gave you some fake news.
He is 6'6", though. He is a man. Like, he looks like an NFL quarterback. Yeah. Like, he's everything you would think.
Oh, here we go height stuff. Brock Osweiler is 6'8". Come on, guys. Stop with the height stuff.
But I would like to point out, there would be a claim to that hot take. Mm. If he came in after Nick Foles didn't look great and then scored two touchdowns and kneeled us and like ran the ball to a victory. Like, he didn't put up any points.
He turned the ball over. Yeah, like, people were like, oh.
He didn't turn the ball over. He put us in a place where we might have won a 6-point game. Yeah, like, we still. But like, he put
the Cowboys defense.
But like, he put us in a place. Really good.
But he put us in that place in those final seconds where we like had a chance. Like, I don't see.
I just don't understand. I know that it's a fact of these two teams having nothing really to play for, but you guys kind of want to have some hype going into the playoffs, some feel-good energy, some momentum. The fact that this game ended 6-0, and the reason is because we scored a touchdown end of the fourth quarter and missed an extra kick or missed the extra point. Like, that's just the fact that this game was 6-0
is crazy to me. I don't think
they
did have much. Like, the only reason, like, you could have clinched your best record in franchise history, but I don't think anybody really cared.
So do you think it was a lack of care? Like, no one just wanted to show
absolutely.
Up?
It didn't look like that.
That's messed up, though, for
and, like, let's be clear. Like, physically showed up. Nick Foles showed up for a quarter. And
that's
he
how
wasn't
much they cared about the game. Yeah.
Like, just his body was there. Because showed up 4 out of 11, and an interception isn't really, like, showing up.
Fair.
He physically...
He stood.
He was
his
present.
His body moved. He threw balls. He
was
four
mentally and physically present.
One of them to the other.
Okay, so that's where we're going with that.
But, like, but to answer your question, I have never been fully sold on Nick Foles. I thought the game after the Rams game was his test of, can he win at all?
Game?
Can he hold on to the football? Can he hold on to the football and give it to the other running backs? Mm-hmm. Can he throw it without being intercepted?
And he looked really good in that game, but granted, Giants defense. Not
true.
Really caring, 3-13. What are they playing for?
Yeah.
But I will argue he's not as bad as those people who are making hot takes this morning. Let's go with a guy who couldn't score points yesterday.
Yeah, this was his first game in the NFL.
Like, everybody,
I
regular season. Hot take here, you're only going to see Nate Sudfeld on that field in the playoffs. If Nick Foles gets hurt or we blow out the team so hard that we need to bench Nick Foles.
Yes. Well, I think
that's the only way you'll see Nate Sudfeld.
Do you think that's a possibility?
I mean, not likely, but it could happen.
But like, I'm saying hypothetically, if we can, if we come up four scores in three quarters, why would Nick Foles see any more snaps?
I can't wait. Well, the NFC playoffs is going to be great.
It's so good.
I can't. It's just the AFC championship. AFC is like
we'll watch because it's football, but let's just get to the AFC championship at least. Yeah, yeah. Which that was incredible this weekend.
Happy for Bills fans, though.
Bengals knocking out the Ravens. But anyway, we'll stick to our guys. So a little Cowboys recap. So we ended up just going 9-7 on this year. We took a mean plummet in the middle of the season. I have some actually comparisons between the first 8 weeks to the last 8 weeks in offense. We were fifth in points in the first 8 weeks and did 28th in points in the last 8 weeks. 28 touchdowns to 14 touchdowns. Net passing yards, 222 to 170. So 4 interceptions to 9 interceptions. So obviously a huge plummet.
Well, 6 games without your Aaron Rodgers. 6 games without your Deshaun Watson.
Like, our guy.
Without your Carson Wentz. Yeah, like it's just, without Zeke, 9 without, and 7 is pretty good with that.
And 4-4 in the last 8 weeks. So I guess you can't, you know, complain too much, but at the same time, this is a team that you were so hype on, and the offense was what we were so excited about, and that's what took the worst hit. I mean, losing Zeke, losing Tyron Smith, the left tackle, in the same week, and then going from there. And we made some adjustments. We got back on the horse a little bit as the season kept going, but my biggest concern is Dez Bryant, the receiving unit in general.
He's
and
gone, man. Well, what are you concerned about Dez Bryant?
Dez Bryant should
go somewhere where he's going to be a 10, 15 touchdown number one.
But it's not just Dez, it's Dak throwing?
Oh no, we're talking about Dez. Dez needs to go somewhere where he'll be a number one, and that's not where he needs to be a number two.
Why wouldn't it be Dallas? Yeah, why wouldn't it be Dallas?
I think he's that guy. I think he's not that guy in Dallas.
They wanted him to be that guy.
This is the only team he's been with for his 8 seasons. Yeah. I think it's...
He got a lot of balls. He just didn't come down.
Dak's not throwing to him either. Like...
But that's what I'm saying. Like you say he needs to be a number two. I say he's a number one, just somewhere else.
Interesting.
Okay. I think he'll fit into a better system.
What have you seen from him this season to make you think, yeah, he still has it? He can be that guy. He can be number one guy.
Nothing, because they haven't thrown it to him. But he needs to go somewhere where he's the number one, and they're actually going to throw it to him.
I guess my perception is different. I don't think he's not getting the ball thrown to him. I feel like the games I've seen of him, he's been they really try to get the ball in.
All you can really get out of him nowadays
is a defensive pass interference. Like, I haven't seen him come down with the ball like how he used to.
That's true. He can still draw the foul.
Yeah, he gets those pass interference.
I mean, he had some good one-on-one instances. I think it was against the Redskins when he was just back there. In a one-on-one situation where it's him and the other guy, like, Dez has still proven to be really good. I love Dak Prescott, but I don't think the ball was thrown well.
So you think it's Dak? Both of you guys think
Dak? Yeah.
Okay.
I think we've seen a downward spiral of Dak. I'm not saying let's give up on him, and I'm glad that the Cowboys aren't.
But that's what I'm saying, that you can't give up on Dak. Mm. Like, Dallas cannot give up on Dak. But we've correctly or incorrectly diagnosed the problem as Dak and that system. If you're Dez, you can't give you know Dallas isn't giving up on Dak. So the only option is get paid to stay here and not put up the stats I think I'm worth, or go elsewhere.
Yeah.
It's binary. Those are the two things Dez Bryant can do right now.
That'd be so weird seeing him not in the Cowboys
uniform. It would be the weirdest thing. I know, and as a fan...
We'd take you, bro.
Yes, you would.
You don't need any more people to throw to.
It's only actually cold in Philadelphia, right, like 3 months out of the year.
Yeah,
you'll
he
be
likes
fine.
That.
3 months out of the football year, you'll be fine.
But as a fan, everything that Dez has come with the past few years, the highlights, the bad times, the drama...
He's that guy.
The tantrums on the sideline, like, it's so hard to let him go.
We've had T.O.
like,
here.
Us too. Okay.
We've had Michael Vick here. Like, we're okay.
I know it wasn't a good year for him, but if you think about it this way, it was still the same offense as last year.
Yeah.
Everybody was still there. Why didn't it work this year?
It's just
wasn't there. What?
There's only six games here. I'm talking receivers. I'm talking Cole Beasley, Jason Witten, Terrence Williams,
that
Dez Bryant.
He influences that. Absolutely. He's interval. I know he's not the quarterback, but he is. He's the most important person on that football team.
I know.
And I think the Cowboys are savvy enough to know to not overreact to what happened because Zeke was gone for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. It's just
because that put everything in shambles.
Yeah.
Zeke leaving when he left. Mm-hmm. And I've made this argument more than once on this show that had Zeke just left when the NFL said he should have left, knowing that he would serve as a
season,
it would have optimally been better for your season, because I would argue of those 6 weeks, the win-loss of those 6 weeks would have been better if it were earlier in the season.
Probably, definitely.
But that's... that's all like through the looking glass.
And it's such
stuff.
A shot to the heart too, to think missing one guy and at times two guys with Tyron Smith, that was enough to just completely ruin our fate of this season.
Mm-hmm. And but that shows how much was actually there.
I know.
Yeah. To, agreed.
It's insane. But after this 9-7 season, getting rid of Jason Garrett is not a thought in Jerry Jones's mind, quote, and we are still keeping our offensive coordinator Scott Linehan and defensive coordinator Ron Marinelli, but staff changes are expected. So I don't know what staff changes are expected. We're pretty much keeping it all around all of our main guys.
Yeah.
But improvements need to happen, and I'm hoping to see.
Who would you like to see gone? other than, you know.
There has been times this season where I really hated the offensive play calling. Hmm. Honestly, I think that our defense made some significant adjustments. We were able to shift when we, you know, in times that there was a big lull, but our offense could not get it together at all. At all. I mean, I don't know if that's Scott Linehan or the play calling I didn't like a lot of the times, but a passing game, really bad this year. And yeah. I'm hoping to see that improve tremendously next season. And Dak.
He's going to be on the hot seat next year. He's got to really perform.
Right. And everybody compares Dak. Everybody rightly compares Dak to Carson Wentz. They're the same year, same draft. And I think as of this moment, they've both performed about the same per game.
Because
Dak had a better first season than Carson Wentz did. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz had a better second season, and then it ended abruptly. You mash them together, they're about the same. They're about the same level, but I would argue Carson Wentz on the field is obviously way more advanced as a second-year quarterback than Dak is, but Dak is still a second-year quarterback.
I know. I've just never seen him perform so badly that I have the second half of the season. Like, it's been bad.
But, like, how much of that do you think is him? How much of that do you think is Zeke leaving? How much of that do you think is Zeke leaving left a hole that he couldn't possibly
fill?
I guess,
but you don't really want that in your quarterback. Even though he has second year, you don't want him to be so dependent on a running back that he forgets how to throw the ball.
But that's an offensive system. You can't blame all that on the quarterback. Especially not a second year quarterback who's at best their football IQ is that of a third or a fourth year quarterback.
Hey, I'm still on the Dak train. Love the guy on and off the field. So I'm hoping that we can get back into the system that we had last year. If he is a system quarterback and he relies on all the pieces, let's get it all molded together again.
As an Eagles fan, I want that too. Because what? I want us to beat.
Yeah,
I
where's
want
the us sarcasm
to,
here?
No, there's no sarcasm, but I want us to beat the best
Cowboys team.
Possible Cowboys team.
Not like, 6-0 I don't, yeah, score like, 2.
Yeah, like, I want exciting games. I want exciting games with, I want the NFC East to be the best division in the league so that when we win it, we don't come off like the one seed
division.
Well, if the NFC
we don't
want
to come off like the one seed because we have a bunch of scrubs in our division.
If the NFC East remains to be the NFC East that it has been, you guys won't win the division next year.
Yeah, no team has won back to back.
Yeah, it just won't happen. Like the Redskins will probably win with Colt McCoy for all we know.
But like that, but also,
it's always like the most bizarre things that happen.
But that's also the NFL system versus other major league sports that the person who wins the most gets the least advantage the following year, so that it's still all 32 teams have a decent shot at the Super Bowl within a very short cycle.
Yeah.
Within like a 3-year cycle, you have no one to blame but yourself if you own the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Where it's if you've owned the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for 3 years, you've had all the tools that everyone else has had, that those people are going to the Super Bowl and you aren't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not surprised by
other sports,
this is
like baseball.
Hard Knocks makes you just think
it's
very
a Hard Knocks
football team.
I really didn't. Everybody was all about the Bucks.
I love
Jameis.
I love his personality.
Me too.
Well, I was like that too. Jeff Fisher was like, "We're not going after 7-9. And I'm like, "Yeah, we're going to Super Bowl this year." No, I didn't.
8 wins. Yeah. Right. We're doing it.
You're
welcome
right.
To Hollywood. 7-9. Yeah. You don't like that mediocre BS. Oh, Jeff Fisher. He'll probably get some interviews for all of these head coaching jobs that have just been destroyed. Firing.
He allowed this to happen for the
right,
Rams.
Right. He set them up for the success. Something like that.
Him saying that is like, you know, go to the grocery store buying a bunch of random crap. And Sean McVay has to somehow make a great feast out of that.
I bought those ingredients. Yeah. So moving on. It's sad. This is the end. I mean, it's sad, but at the same time, I was over it. Like, I went to the bar in my cowboy shirt this weekend. I was like, okay, still repping, but I actually don't want to watch this game. I just really don't. I feel like the biggest reason I did was for this show.
Because you had to.
Exactly. So, yeah, this was actually our first back-to-back winning seasons in Jason Garrett's tenure. So I guess that's enough to keep him around, good old Garrett. So we'll see what next year has in store.
If they're firing him, they would have done it today?
It would be an overreaction to fire him when he didn't have a Ezekiel.
I kind of appreciate that the Cowboys are sticking to their guns. I mean, he is kind of a mediocre coach. Yeah. Only 2 trips to the playoffs in 8 seasons. But, you know, it's not like the quick turnaround for all these NFL coaches that we're seeing. Like, oh, 2 years, you didn't get it done, you're done. Right. You know? Mm. It's kind of like, all right, at least I guess we're trying to stick to our pieces and see if they...
Yeah, we've seen a lot of that too. Somehow the Bengals still have Marvin Lewis.
So. Yeah, yes, exactly. Like, how does exactly he get one of those situations.
But again, I'm talking about other teams that are not.
All right, yeah. Well, let's. So we're done. We're done with you, good Eagles. Riddance. We will see you the rest of the playoffs.
I do get
playoffs.
A lot of joy if you got this failure.
So
if we're not going to be in the playoffs, why should you be? You know.
Well, let's talk about you. Let's talk about your Redskins. This Giants-Redskins game was a circus right off the bat.
Kirk Cousins did not come.
This was the entertaining
NFC. He was already thinking about contract talks in the offseason.
This was the better NFC East game.
Sadly.
It was. So the Giants was
just because there's more points on the board.
This was more to watch. Yeah. Like, there was very little to watch.
And the run game for the Giants, which is what?
Shout out to number 72. Look how hard he's running. He blocked the kick the next play.
He's still going. Orleans Darkwa with this lame ass celebration. Come on, dude. That's the best you could do? What is that little, like, I don't even know.
Hey,
Air guitar.
NFL, I know this rule change came kind of late to you. NFL players, I'm looking directly at you. But if you need somebody, if you need consultants, I know plenty of good people that can come in and teach you better, like, elaborate playoff dances.
Yeah.
Like, right. Team playoff dances. It's what you need, and that's what you don't have.
We get a whole offseason to think about it and figure it out next year. Orleans Darkwa, we're not proud of that.
75-yard rushing touchdown. I think it was the best performance for the Giants' run game all year. It was their first NFC East win of the year. So, my boyfriend, I told you before, is a Redskins fan. He was still, like, into this game. He actually bet the Redskins.
Why would he do that?
Yeah.
We've also so only won what one game were you, in the division this year.
I mean, do you think this was just no one again wanted to show up or play?
The
defense
stopped
has given up.
They stopped playing after we blew the lead to the... No, we beat the Giants the week after. The Chargers game is when I realized that they were done.
This is it. Yeah.
I mean, we beat the Cardinals, all that good stuff, but it's the season's over. It's okay. It's all right. There's no thing to dissect from this actual football game that we wouldn't have talked about in week 16.
The fact that it was a circus. Started off with that Arlene Darkwa touchdown, then it was a blocked field goal, then there was an interception, then Giants scored again, then missed their 2-point conversion. Laziness. I mean, it at least had the entertainment value that the Eagles Cowboys game did not have.
It's maybe entertaining for people who aren't supporting the teams that are playing. Because any man in his right mind would be stressed
also,
watching this.
Yeah, so we have Kirk.
Three interceptions.
Okay. Also, so if this is his last game as a Redskin, this was not a good way to go out.
Speaking as a betting man, I don't like to get involved in divisional matches like
no
this.
No way,
yeah, anything,
right?
Anything
like,
happen. Yeah.
They know each other well. Like,
yeah.
And isn't this so classic that this happened? Like, the Giants, hate to say it, but like they would win this game.
They beat us last year to eliminate us from the playoffs last week.
Yep, same.
Oh, in week 17.
Yep. So. Almost a similar score, too. I think it was like 19. I looked it up today. It was like 19-10, I think. And this one was 18-10.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you guys want from me, but season's over, man.
Well, it has most definitely been over.
Somewhat.
Because there's way less to talk about with this game.
That game was just,
so,
you know.
What are you hoping for the offseason moves?
You know, if I was in this position... If I was the actual GM, I wouldn't bring back Kirk Cousins. But that means that your team is going to... As a GM, I'm probably going to lose my job because our team's going to suck next year. But I think from a long-term perspective, I mean, it's the same argument I've said.
Right.
But the money now that they've put themselves in that they have to pay him is going to prevent this team from being a Super Bowl contender. And if you're paying a guy like that, you should expect to be a Super Bowl contender. And so it's going to put them in chains. And I just think... From a long-term perspective, just go look for a new quarterback.
Yeah.
That process sucks, and he is the best quarterback we've had in a long time. But at this point, I don't think it's worth it.
And I would argue a GM's job isn't to make a decision like that without the owner's input.
Right.
So it's a matter of how the owner feels about
that. We know
that.
How the owners feel. That they he put a franchise tag on them two to three years in a row.
Yeah. First time in NFL history.
Then that GM needs to realize they're going to win. If that GM feels that way, which they might have a GM that goes along with what the owner thinks and not think anything we think.
So correct me if I'm wrong, the franchise tag guarantees him $34 million.
Yeah, so at this point it would be cheaper to sign him to an extended contract.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to put him up onto free agency, that'd be the most expensive player in the NFL right now.
Yeah. Well, because they could transition tag him, but I don't know. That's just, you know, I think this is the year you just have to make a decision. And who knows if he wants to come back? I don't know. You know, I think he also knows that he probably needs a lot more talent around him. And I could see him flourishing on a Jaguars, on just a very much more talented football team. So I could see him next year having another great season, but he'll be on a more talented team.
And be on a different team, to the playoffs and maybe a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that would be crazy. But we've seen his DNA from the standpoint of the last 2 to 3 years, and 7-9, 8-8, 9-7.
I know that's something that you can't argue with. I mean, again, mediocre record, but Kirk has been statistically like top three quarterback every year since he's been starting.
Okay,
for
but
the
do
Red
you
Skins.
Actually think Kirk Cousins is a top three quarterback, or even a top five quarterback?
It's hard to say because he has been in the Redskins system for so long. Like, I've always been a defensive of Kirk and think that he is a great quarterback. And behind that line this year, and with the poor receiving unit, I think he played better than maybe like 28 other quarterbacks would have on the Redskins this year. I think he did great with what he had.
We did have a lot of injuries on the O-line, but the O-line is, since he started, been one of the best in the league. Maybe not Raiders good or Cowboys good, but like very quality offensive line. So he's always been blessed with that. This year, he was under a little bit more pressure. So and he still kind of gave similar numbers.
And there's also no balance in the offense.
He doesn't have a running game at all. So I don't know. Like, a lot of Redskin fans don't like Jay Gruden a lot.
Oh, really?
Which kind of makes sense. They don't, just don't like the decisions he's made, which I get. But I just think everybody's mediocre. Everyone's in the middle. No one's really bad. I've experienced that. Mm-hmm. I've still not experienced that next tier. Like, you know what I mean? Just that either consistently making the playoffs or competing for the division. And over, you just lose the big games. We had games against you guys. We had games against you guys. And it's just like, okay, I don't really want to keep watching that. Just, like, start over. Whatever. It's okay.
So in terms of going out and getting other weapons, you're thinking wide receivers? You're thinking running backs?
I mean, everything starts and ends with what they decide to do with Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
If they bring him back, then, you're obviously still at the win now approach. If you do not bring him back, then you're saying we're starting over.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if they bring back Kirk Cousins, yes, you need to get him some weapons. If that's even possible, I don't know.
Because what you're paying for Kirk Cousins, can you afford weapons?
Yeah.
Then you can get creative, because I also want to point out that free agency, like the off-season free agency and draft block, are completely different games from the actual who fits that spot and makes plays for you.
Yeah, definitely.
So obviously you need to play that game and then play a separate game.
Yeah.
But it's completely plausible to get somebody who isn't super expensive to fit into that system.
Because, I mean,
you can draft.
How many years did they sign Pryor for?
Terrell Pryor, I think it was a 1-year deal. So
he'll be gone.
You can draft him late.
Yeah. Sammy Watkins was randomly traded to the Rams.
Yeah, so it's
possible. I don't have any faith in our GM, but you know.
The GM that is going along with the ownership.
Exactly, because they fired the other guy that was doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Daniel Schneider.
So maybe if that GM isn't going along, and we should know his name, but like, if that
this,
GM,
oh, this GM's name is Bruce Allen.
So okay. You think that
if Bruce Allen doesn't go along with the owner, and if Bruce Allen feels that Kirk Cousins should leave, and the ownership is telling him no, then he needs to look for another job.
Yeah.
Maybe the Redskins just need an entire facelift. You know, new owner, new GM.
I'm with you. How do you feel about Jerry
Jones? That's what I was going to bring up. Steve stole my joke. Yeah. Just, if you're not going to have Senators. Kirk, you're not going to have your owners. New name.
Senators, politicians.
The Washington,
You know what?
Improv, quick. The Washington.
I've heard the Warriors, the Bravehearts.
Well, the Warriors already exist.
Not in football.
No, but you can't have
okay.
two team names in the same city.
I think Warriors would make the most... I think Warriors would make the most logical sense.
Just Zards.
To the most positive, least racist translation to what they mean redskin to mean, yeah. Warrior would be the most equal translation.
Yes, or you could keep your, you can keep the same symbolism.
Same symbolism, yeah.
Similar symbolism.
Similar symbolism, yeah.
Had less warrior, racism.
Whereas, like, if you became the Washington Senators or Warriors or, hell, I'd go for Washington Republicans.
Oh, no, I wouldn't.
Well, that's not gonna...
Also, DC's 92% liberal, so that wouldn't
too,
work.
That too.
But yeah, no, I'm with you on how you feel about Jerry Jones. I'm just not scared to say it. Nothing's gonna happen. Oh, yeah. Honor. Yeah, you know.
The Washington, not Ravens.
Right. Yeah. So it's almost something where you aren't really going to get to where you want to be as a fan until it comes from the tippy really top.
I thought that we were fine when we had, what was his name? The guy from the 49ers that we fired this past
Shanahan?
Last season.
No. Mary, no.
Not Mary.
No, our GM. I forget his name now. It's bad. But he made some great decisions, and it seemed like Dan Snyder was getting out of his own way. Mm. And lo and behold, last offseason, hey, we're going to fire you because you have alcohol issues.
Oh, my God, I remember it. Yes, that GM.
Yes,
he was the best thing going for you guys.
Everything good on our team was pretty much picked by him.
Yeah, and I think that they almost kind of like blamed it on alcohol or something. Yes. There was just fights obviously going on in the organization.
Oh, hey, I'm Dan Snyder. I'm still here. I don't want
you guys to be. Yes, I remember that. That was crazy.
So, I mean... you know, I'm depressed, but that's normal. We're usually depressed around this time of
the year. This seems about the time. Like, new year, same depression with my football team.
This is a
new feeling for you.
This is a very new place for me.
Yeah. New place, but
I haven't felt this way.
Since Donovan McNabb, maybe. Yeah.
I'm going to be negative Nancy, though. New place, but still not going in 100%.
No, we don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, still not like the best.
We don't have Carson Wentz. We don't have Carson Wentz. We have a quarterback.
When I know in 2 weeks that you'd be on the couch crying with me, you're not going to be happy. When we're all watching the Super Bowl and none of our teams are in the Super Bowl, I'm going to be happy.
New year, new Eagles, but same Eagles. Because the thing.
I'll switch, though. You can have the season that you had. I'll take it. But
I guess we can touch on the Giants for like half a second.
For what?
Because 3-13.
They are.
This is the most loss that they had in their franchise. Do we think this is just like an insane fluke year, or this is going to take years?
This is going to take years.
Years of restructuring.
I don't think it'll take years. I really don't. I'm in maybe in a minority of this, but I really think this is an anomaly. There are so many things that went down. And again, they didn't have their best player. They didn't have Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
Yes, that offense was really bad, but last year, pretty much a similar offense. And Odell Beckham was there, and they were competent. You know what I mean? So I do think
they were a playoff team.
They were a playoff team.
Exactly. And 11-5. Good record.
Yeah. And only elite defenses, only like super elite defenses are able to overcome offenses that were that bad. Like I'm talking 2000 Ravens. Like, you know what I mean? Any decent defense, if you're on the field that long, you're going to be exposed. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, middle of the season, they lost motivation. So I really think, you know, I don't know what their free agent situation is, but I, as a Giant fan, you know, you got a new GM, and you're going to get a new coach, probably like Josh McDaniels or something
probably
like that.
Probably a new quarterback.
Yeah. And you're going to draft a quarterback and probably bring back Eli. You're going to have Odell Beckham Jr. I don't think it's unrealistic to believe they'll be in the playoffs next year, personally.
Wow, playoffs. Yeah. Okay, I do agree that it is going to be a quicker turnaround than expected.
Yeah.
I think that if you do just put the pieces in where they need, they could, like, and again, at NFC East, anybody could win any given year.
But also the NFL, as I mentioned, like, you can be zero to hero in under two seasons.
Right.
Like the league is built to be zero to hero in under two seasons, because if you can't, what's the point? Why would anyone watch? Yeah. Why is it? Otherwise, it wouldn't be the most exciting thing. We wouldn't do shows about it.
Agreed.
So, like, to say the Giants are completely out of the playoffs next year, like, that's a lock. I can't say that. I can say they have a lot of work to do.
What's the difference between them this year and last year?
Missing Odell.
Okay.
They
didn't have Odell the whole season, basically.
I mean, it just was a domino effect.
Yeah, but
Giants were losing, then they were losing hard.
I mean, Jake Elliott, he made like a 59-yard field goal. They lost. They were like the Chargers at the beginning of the year. They were like...
Eli having a worse year than last year.
Yeah.
O-line being worse, run game being worse. I don't know. These are kind of the same problems, but everything was just worse this year.
It just was
And it's top down.
Yeah.
Good leadership is top down. A good ship is only as good as...
Locker room issues.
A ship is only as good as its captain. And
I think Odell masked a lot of things that we didn't know about.
Yeah, that captain got mutinied.
Yeah, exactly.
And you think about everything going on with Eli Apple now too, him being called a cancer of the team by Landon Collins, like all of this stuff, his drama, a lot of people not getting along with McAdoo, him just suspending defensive players like every other week for and their own conflicts.
My theory on locker room, we'll call it strife, is for every one story you hear, there are at least five stories you never heard about, meaning that a locker room like I'm trying to not use my team as an example. Have we heard any drama about the New England Patriots locker room this year?
No, you would never in the Belichick.
Yeah. It exists.
But it exists. But I'm just saying for every story you hear of any locker room, there are at least five stories you'll never hear.
Yeah.
So for there to be a story a week with this Giants team,
right?
That means there's a dozen a week.
Yeah.
That McAdoo's either McAdoo woke up and realized and was trying to get it under control and he had already lost his team, or more than likely he was the problem.
Just in shambles.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be mad if they have another losing season like this next year.
Of course.
At least one guaranteed win.
I love that this happened for the Giants, but I feel like Giants fans don't even let it be fun. You know, they're all like, it's just the organization, just a mess, rebuilding year. They just like shove it off. But this minute your team sucks for a year, it's like, you are at their expense always.
That is
I think
true.
It's That's a growing football. Up in New Jersey thing, yeah. Probably being the Cowboys fan around my Giants cousins and all of like my college friends who were Giants fans. So it's not even fun. It could have been so fun this year, but they don't allow it to make it look like
they don't take their ale sitting down.
I think that's why Eagles fans are easiest to pick on when and in the years where
because they get hot headed and they'll fight back about
it. We won't do what Giants fans are doing right now, which is, well, it's a rebuilding year. Things will get better.
You get really cynical. I feel like you get really down.
We get like,
which
no,
is also
we suck.
Sad.
I've
That's
committed.
That's not fun either. Like,
we suck. I've
God,
committed.
No, I can't Mate, make fun of you anymore.
Like, between now and the end of the universe, I guess the team will get better.
Well, there was this poor guy leaving Lincoln Financial after the Eagles-Cowboys game. I don't know if you saw this. Head to toe in Cowboys gear in a Romo jersey, first off.
Of course.
Like, maybe move. I always think it's
really
weird, like,
move on. He just retired.
Well, not yeah, just like, retired. Whoa. I always think it's funny when I go to a game and someone's wearing like a Miles Austin jersey. I'm like, well, you couldn't get like any other shirt or jersey for this game. But anyway, this guy walking out of the stadium by himself, this can't even fight back. All these Eagles fans just covering him in condiments like ketchup and mustard head to toe.
Oh, wow.
Destroying his jersey that probably cost him like $100.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a Romo jersey.
Well, he went to the Lincoln
Depends
Financial.
On when he bought.
I feel like you signed an agreement at that point.
You're signing your life away.
Something
I know
bad
anything.
Will happen to me.
Seriously.
So I can speak as the resident Philadelphian. I can point out that there's two sides to that. A, we're not the best fans, so there's a possibility what you saw is exactly what happened, at which point,
I'll
sorry.
See to video.
Sorry, we're not
That's
the best.
Exactly how it went down.
But I've been at Lincoln Financial Field enough to know that there's usually more than what you... There's usually, when you hear a story like that, there's usually more than what the video shows.
Let's not act like he probably wasn't talking to...
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, they won,
like,
he definitely said something.
But, like, let's not act like, hypothetically, he wasn't the worst kind of fan.
He probably was.
In that moment, like... In the moment his team won, like he, and to be fair, we
his
have
team
a
won six series wearing a Romo jersey. I doubt that he was doing cartwheels and flips.
But like,
he got ketchup for some reason.
He got ketchup because he walked into Lincoln.
We didn't boo Santa Claus just because he was Santa Claus.
Oh, God.
I don't boo Santa Claus.
He was a terrible Santa Claus. ESPN, ESPN did a whole thing on it Christmas Day. It kind of vindicated us. Anyway.
I actually don't know what you're talking about. I thought you meant the real Kris Kringle, and
no,
I was offended because I love
Santa Claus back
in like
the
60s. Yeah.
Oh,
in the 60s we booed Santa Claus, but
right
not because he was Santa Claus.
Old, so.
Not because he was Santa Claus and we were losing, but because he was Santa Claus we were losing, and he was a terrible, terrible Santa Claus. He was like a third string Santa Claus.
Yeah. All right, well, let's end on Santa Claus as we come into this new year because we are out of time here. This was our last NFC East reactions and update show here on AfterBuzz TV. Thank you so much for joining us all season. If you did, we will continue. We are going to have a playoff recap show here at AfterBuzz, so look out for that.
Redskins talk, yes.
Well, I'll find a way to bring it up at least once every episode, guys. I'll do it for you, for the people. Thank you so much again. My name is Jenna Bussier. You can find me on Twitter at Jenna_Bussier. What's up, guys?
And I'm Steve Kaufman, the winner of this panel.
You did.
Now we're doing it.
You won.
I won.
It happened. Win the panel.
You can find
you
me
with a
on Twitter.
Your team made the playoffs.
You paid for it.
You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN. I do a lot of stuff here at AfterBuzz TV, including pretty soon from now, I'll be covering WWE's SmackDown, which should be a doozy.
All right, Redskins fans, I'm going to be holding a session. We're going to just cry together in the bar. Your boyfriend's invited.
Yeah.
No, you guys can hit me up on Instagram at D'Angelo, on Twitter at D'Angelo TV. I can't wait to have our NFL playoff show. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see what this offseason will unfold to be. Very excited.
We always
win
the offseason. I will say that.
We haven't picked out some dates, but we're going to do this show in the offseason.
Steve, can you let the people know where your hand might be on national TV tonight?
Oh, yes.
Oh, no. I saw a video. My face.
Yes,
Complete with lines and words. I'm a blackjack dealer on Fresh Off the Boat. That's on ABC.
Check it out.
It's tonight-ish. So if you watch episode 11 of Fresh Off the Boat season 4, I'm a blackjack dealer on that. So check that out.
We are pumped for you. I'm excited for that. All right, guys. Thank you again. Have a good one.
Deuces.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.